beautiful, beautiful Zion. And once we did that, I thought, wow, that's a great song. In fact, they sang it lots of times. So I went around and started asking people, what is Zion anyway? And I didn't find anyone at Good Samaritan Baptist Church, or Good Samaritan, at Tuscarora Baptist Church, who knew what Zion was.
Wow.
So, if someone ever asks you what Zion is, I want you to think immediately of Psalms chapter 2 again, that says the only begotten Son of God's going to sit and rule and reign from the holy hill of Zion, and that's what we're marching to. I just wrote up in one of my footnotes in a book that the Presbyterian Church expressed in policy a hatred for Zionists. And a Zionist is anyone who believes that God's going to reestablish Israel, and he did so in 1948, and that has something to do with the Bible. And so they don't like the fact that there is a Israel in Zion. The Presbyterian Church actually voted against recognizing such a thing. So, yeah, we're Zionists around here, praise the Lord, in that regard. And don't forget where we're marching to. We're marching to Zion. And that isn't too far away, praise the Lord. Let's look in our Bibles to Revelation chapter 2. Now, I was nervous even getting the message out of Revelation chapter 2 because I'm afraid I'm going to slip back into the hump for the last October again. But we, finished that theme, I hope, last week. But boy, I loved it so much. And I didn't get a chance to go through and preach the seven messages to the seven churches. So I thought it'd be good if we go ahead and look at this first one here today. So I'm trying something different. I got my message on a pad. The last two times I tried a message on a pad, the pad died halfway through. And so we'll see how this goes again. Revelation chapter 2. And let's stand for the reading of God's Word and look again at this tremendous introduction, a message to the churches, starting this being the first one in Revelation chapter 2. The Bible says, "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars." Verse 3. "And hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted." And then look with me at verse 4. "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." Father, praise you and thank you for your word. May we again take this warning, this counsel that you gave to the church at Ephesus. May we again know what our first love is and always hold it. We'll praise you and thank you for Good Samaritan Baptist Church this morning, and thank you again that we could look at this portion of Scripture with just a testimony of faithfulness here at Good Samaritan. And I pray again, Father, that you'd help us to keep the main things, even as we continue on in this old society. We'll praise you now and thank you in the name of Christ. Amen. You may be seated as we pick up this theme again. It is great joy again to look at Good Samaritan Baptist Church and a little bit of its history, and then to extend off into the future. Sometimes I get a little nervous doing that. This week, again, I got a call yesterday, in fact, from Gerald Fielder, and he says, "Okay, I fit you into my schedule." So Gerald Fielder is going to be here preaching in October of 2021. He's got quite an extensive schedule. And my question is, are you going to be here for that? Am I going to be here for that? I've never scheduled a revival service 2 weeks or 2 years out in advance. And so, yep, praise the Lord. That's our intention. Will Good Samaritan Baptist Church be here for that? I was fussing all of Friday night, ever since I talked to our furnace guy, that the gas valve didn't shut off on the furnace. And so I thought I could not get it to shut off. It was burning the whole time. So finally, again, I shut the furnace off and the gas shut off. But that doesn't mean the regulator shut off. And so I talked to him yesterday, and he said, or Friday, and he said, you mean the gas was still leaking in and you didn't shut the gas line off? And I thought, man, alive, that basement could have been filling with gas for 2 weeks now. I could have come up here and found the building gone. And as being preachers as we do, we'd run down through, okay, what's the next step then? If we come up here and the building's gone, what's the next step for Good Samaritan Baptist Church? I don't think we're in a position to buy another building right now. So anyway, some of those thoughts run through on my head. Again, what are you going to do in the future? Where are we going with this thing? And again, as I did that, I wanted to go ahead and just put an emphasis right here that we do what God says. That we just keep the main thing here, and don't forget our first love. And so let's look at some things that's involved in our first love here at Good Samaritan Baptist Church. And as we look at Ephesus here again, the warning was clear to them. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. This is the first warning to the first church in the seven messages to the churches. And so I thought it'd be good if we'd look at that and say, hey, let's make sure that we as a church and that we as individuals do not leave our first love. Let's revisit it again. In marriage counseling, I have been taught to go ahead and talk to people. The first thing to deal with is, why in the world did you marry that woman? Go back and revisit what happened that you two married. What were you, in love or something? What was going on, you know? And so it's good to go back and visit our roots, our beginnings, even in marriage, but especially here as far as our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so let's revisit some of them. And the first thing, again, that we want to look at is that we would visit, again, the first love. Let's look again at the love for the Word of God. We need to have a love for His Word. And so let's look at John chapter 14 and verse 22. John chapter 14 and verse 22. And notice when I say that we're to have a love for His Word, I meant to have Word in all caps up there. I guess I didn't get it in that slide. But the Word is synonymous with the Lord Jesus Christ. If we love the Word, then we're going to love the Word. Did you get it? Okay. So we are, again, to love the Word that was made flesh and dwelled among us, and we beheld the glory as of the glory of the only begotten of the Father. And we're to love this old book that He's given us with the same love. John 14, look with me at verse 22. The Bible says, Judas saith unto Him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that Thou wilt manifest Thyself unto us and not unto the world? It's curious that you can see things that the world cannot see. As a Christian, we used to have the line that seeing is believing. That's not true now, again, that they have all the abilities to modify pictures and make you see things that aren't true. Seeing is believing, but for a believer, believing is seeing. And so the more we believe, the more that we can see. And notice here, the question is, how is it that thou shalt wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and he will come unto him and make our and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. As we study these things, I'm always curious about the Trinity that often shows up in these verses. And so notice again the he's and the we's in these sections. And notice again that we are indwelt by God. God dwells inside of us. But again, here we find an emphasis that we need a love for his word. In John, I think it's chapter 8, where he said many of the Jews that therefore believed on him. He said unto them, if you believe on me, you'll continue in my words. What shall we do to work the works of God? Continue in my words, he said. And so, again, that's where the truth shall make you free. You shall be free indeed in that chapter. And again, that freedom, even that we're celebrating today on Veterans Day, as we recognize those that paid a great price for our freedom, we'll notice again that we ought to have a love for the truth, because it is the truth that can make us free. Psalms 119, I love, again, as you know that, and I've gone through it a couple times with y'all, but here in Psalms 119, we find seven things. That's called the law, the testimonies, the ways, the precepts. I died. The precepts. The laws, the testimonies, thy ways, thy precepts, thy statutes, thy commandments, thy judgments. And it's all called thy word. And so notice again, as we have those repeated over and over, each octet there in Psalms covers that list of things. Psalms, I've just got a bunch of verses here out of Psalms 119 that I'd make you familiar with. Oh, how love I thy law, verse 97, under the letter Mem, Hebrew member, Mem. Oh, how love I the law, it is my meditation all the day. Psalms 113, under the Hebrew letter Shemek. Remember, there's eight verses under each of the Hebrew letters. And under the letter Shemek, I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. Verse 119, Psalms 119, 119 says, thou puttest away all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore, I love thy testimonies. And so notice again these verses here that reflect, again, the idea that we ought to have a love for God's word. Psalms 1, of course, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And then Jesus again said, if ye love me, keep my commandments. And so we ought to have a love for God's word. Those verses in Psalms 119 go on to give a couple more. It says in verse 127, therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Verse 159, consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. And then Psalms 165, verse that all of us ought to memorize, 119, 165, says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Speaking of Tuscarora Baptist Church, I was out in the middle of nowhere and was running, what, about 300 people at one time, went down to about 200 before we left. And the nearest town, I think, was Addison. Freeman don't count. So there they are out in the middle of nowhere. This church right here is in a position, again, where it could draw in 300 people easily. Geneva, Watkins, Penn Yan, just those three there with no independent fundamental KJV church. We could easily draw in 300 people here, but in our 20 years, we have not. And so, again, sometimes I think I've offended a lot of people. I can list more people that are offended at your pastor than are here today because of your pastor. And so as I think of that, I've come to love this verse just a little bit, that sometimes the Word of God does offend people. And you'll find that in your life. People that don't like your witness, it's because they don't like the Word of God that you carry with you. And some of them don't like the God that you carry with you. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. So we find again that we ought to have a love for the Word of God. Examine your love for the Word of God. I was appalled to find out how few people read their Bible through. Brother Fielder again and I talked about this a little bit while he was here, it's astounding how many Christians do not read their Bible through, do not read their Bible every day. Some again just leave it at church because they won't need it again until next Sunday. Boy, I hope that's none of you again. And I know some of you leave your Bible here at church, but you got a backup copy somewhere, praise the Lord. But again, I praise the Lord for Good Samaritan Baptist Church and our Bible reading program. Remember when we started that and we had the contest between the guys and the girls who could read the most chapters in a week? And that was years ago. And again, just getting into a habit of reading your Bible every day, we can't overemphasize how important that is for a believer. And so again, having a love for the Word of God. Well, I can't understand it all. Well, welcome to the club, you know. That's why it's important. It's a living book. But I'll guarantee you this, every year you read it, and again, I've been reading it over again every year for 50 years now, that every time you read it through, again, you gain a little bit more. And you see things that you hadn't seen before. Even this year, reading through 1 Samuel, I think three times I said when reading about David there, I said, I never seen that before again. There's things that God brings to us because believing is seeing. So boy, I want to encourage you to read your Bible through. You're not a good reader. You're not a good reader. You should see me try to read again. So again, understand that there's lots of excuses we could come up with. There's just not time. I know there's not time. You have to make time for it. But let's continue here at Good Samaritan Baptist Church to show again a love for God's Word and a respect for God's Word. And again, not what man says God's Word is. Again, all the versions that are available in English today, except the King James, I always say that they're this. They're what men thought God should have said. And they put down what they think God did say again, but that's just their best guess, and they're twisting the words that God did say. And so we don't have to warn too much to be careful around here anyway, to be careful of that. But again, a love for God's Word. And then the next topic, if you was here in Sunday school, I don't think I even have to touch on this too much. But again, our first love should be a love for the brethren. And when I say brethren there, I don't just mean saved people. Let me expand that a little bit. According to the scriptures that we have here, Jesus had compassion on the lost. And we're to love the lost. It was brought out very well in Sunday school that we're to love the brethren, which are born-again believers. We are to love the brethren, which are born-again believers, but think differently than you and I, have been taught differently than you and I, have not grown up nor matured properly in the Word of God. And again, they might be quite a bit different than you and I, but we're to have a love for the brethren. It was brought out in Sunday school that we're to be an encouragement to them, to be a testimony to them, to help them again with their positions on things. And then lastly, again, it's brought out in Scripture that we're to love the unlovely. We're to love those, again, who are lost and in sin. Let's just look through the verses. 1 John 3:14 says, we know, let's turn to 1 John, get these highlighted in our Bible as well. 1 John chapter, a lot of verses here in 1 John. 1 John 3:14, we know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Where are you going to abide here? We're going to abide in Christ. We're going to have a love for the brethren. Look at verse 23. And this is the commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. Chapter 2 and verse 10, He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. I don't think that's right. 1 John 2:10. Yeah, that's right. I'm okay. Somehow I had them out of order there. 1 John 4:7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. And so God is love, and when He indwells you, you should have love for the brethren. We talked about some people who are unlovely. We've talked about some people who are ornery. And boy, again, you still want to see them through the eyes of Christ. You still want to see them, again, as those who need Christ and are empty without Christ and are twisted even because they are without Christ. I gave this illustration some time ago. In fact, let's do it again right now, I suppose. It's been helpful to me. It's been helpful to others. I didn't bring a rope in here. Yeah, we do have a rope. We do have a rope up here. So I'm going to ask Brother Tracy to come on up here. And let me give you this illustration that's been good to me. And again, when you see somebody that's unlovely to you, see somebody that's talked about you, see somebody that's done things against you, and again, I give this man enough cord and so he can hang himself there. Just drop that over there. And I want you to take this right there and then just hold on to it. Okay. In fact, I want you to wrap it one time around this hand. Can you do that with a cord?
Sure.
And and then hold it with both hands, okay? And then you see that person, and they come into your presence, and the first thing you see when you think of them, it has this effect on you. So you see them coming down the street, and immediately there's some jerk in your life again, and here he comes down the street. And you got to watch out for the jerks that are in life. And that's because he's holding on to something that occurred in the past. He's holding on to something that tugs on his heart, that moves him. He's holding a grudge. He's holding on to something that will cause, again, that he remembers what that person said. I remember what that person did. And it immediately grips our life. And it jerks us. Every time we see that individual, every time I bring up their name, and you think, ooh, well, I remember what that person did. I remember what that person said. And so, again, the proper way, again, as we get a hold of the Word of God, is to, again, not make a knot in those things and just hold that loosely in our hands like that. And then when that jerk comes, and the jerks are going to come into our lives again, when that jerk comes, notice again that there's no great motion on Tracy. And so, again, the ability to have the jerk show up in our life, thank you, Dave. Thank you, Tracy, and not to move us, then notice again that it's because we're holding on to something. And the trick is, again, that we would just let go of things, not hold them that close, that when someone else, when they show up in our life, when someone mentions their name, when we think of them, and you remember what they did to you, that's called unforgiveness. Okay? And we're holding the grudge. And we're holding on to that grudge, and that's what happens when that name comes up, when that person shows up, is they have an effect on our lives. And if those things are not held tight, Notice again, you can't get rid of them entirely. There's cords, again, through our lives that people have sown. And you can't get rid of them entirely, but you don't have to grip them. You can just, again, let things pass. And again, that illustration has often moved me because I've run into a lot of people that have said things about me, that have done things to me. And when I can call them friend, is that what Jesus called Judas? Call them friend. Learn again that we need to have a love for the brethren here. And as we do that, it is paramount that we be forgiving, that we can forgive people, and that we can love people. To love the unlovely. Matthew 9 says, Matthew 9:36, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Boy, when you see somebody and they got tattoos all over their face, per se, and everything you can see visibly is pierced, there's an aversion that you have to that person, rather than thinking Christ died for that person. Rather than there they are floundering around like sheep without a shepherd. They don't have a thing that they're hooked onto. I look at young people nowadays and brought up with such twisted values and twisted ideas, and thinking Christ died for them. And that we want to be mindful of the compassion that Christ. Ephesians 1:15 says, wherefore also, after I heard your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints. Isn't that something that Paul here had heard about, the love that the church had for all the saints? Colossians 1:4. Since we heard of your faith in Christ and of the love. Let me stop right there and say faith. How do you hear of faith? Faith is a noun. And anybody know the verb for faith?
Believe,
okay? Remember that. And so you could make believe a noun there somehow, since we heard of your believingness, okay? But always remember that faith is the noun, for believe is the verb. And so these people believed, and it was visible. That became a noun. And Paul could see their faith in the Ephesus. Here he heard of their faith in Jesus Christ, and the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. Notice that he's commending them again because of their love for the saints, because of their love for others. We need to examine that in our life. Don't leave our first love. Sometimes old Christians can be baptized in vinegar and be sour and be bitter in this world. But we dare not be, because Christ hath forgiven us. And we need to forgive others. And we need to have a heart that's loved. That needs to be part of our first love. Don't be guilty there of leaving our first love and begrudging and being an old grump is when it comes to others. Thirdly, that we need to have a love for the church. Evangelist Harold Boyd, who came here about the same time I did and preached as our evangelist, he often said, if you did not get enough salvation to get you into church, you probably did not get enough to get you into heaven either. That's pretty serious. Right here in Dresden this week, I went through and prayed for 15 people that got saved in 2017 and have never darkened the doors of this church. I kept a list again. And so again, to understand that, boy, there's a lot of people who profess salvation, but there's no change in their life. I want to be nervous about them. I was there. I heard them pray. They seem to be sincere to me, but there's no change in their life. And so again, when we get a love that Christ had for the church, that's some of the fruits of Christ being living inside of us. And so Christ loved the church. Ephesians chapter 5 says, husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. We often use that as an expression for how husbands are supposed to love our wives. But once you get your head on straight and you get a love for your wife, that you would die for her, notice again that that should be turned around so that we could see how much Christ loved the church. The physical relationship, the spiritual relationship, the emotional relationship that a husband and wife had is used all the time to illustrate how much God loves us, how much the Lord Jesus Christ loves us, and here, how much he loves the church. And you think about your dying, undying love for your spouse. I hope it's not dying love. If it is, see me later. Your undying love for your spouse. And that's a portrayal, again, of Christ's love for the church. And that helps us bring it home. That's something that we can see, we can feel, we can be familiar with. And know, again, the deep-seated emotion and spiritual connections and physical love, again, that's involved in a marriage, we can see how much Christ loved the church. Take heed, therefore, it says in Acts 20, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. A couple things come out of that verse there. Notice again that there is someone who's over the flock, which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers of. That's bishop. I've gone to several pastors' fellowships and introduced myself as the Bishop of Dresden again. And so my official title is a bishop of Good Samaritan Baptist Church, although I like much better pastor. And I like even better that I'm a minister. Notice again those words. And so we have, again, for the office of the pastor of a church, he is to be a bishop, he is to be an elder with some maturity, and he is to be a pastor or a shepherd. And notice here that, again, they are over the flock. And so consider that just a little bit and understand this, that everyone needs a pastor. I've got a prayer list of people that have left Good Samaritan Baptist Church. My heart breaks for some of them because they need a pastor. They need to have a pastor. They need someone that's watching out for them and is aware of what's going on in their life and could be at least an encouragement to them. People need a pastor. God said so. In God's economy, in this age of grace that we live in, people need a pastor. People need to be fed from the Word of God, from someone who studies the Word of God. And so notice here in Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. And so again, a lot of people I don't need church. Christ died for the church. He loves the church. He put overseers in the church to watch out for souls. And they're going to be required to give answer for their watching over souls. Look at Hebrews 13:17. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable to you. And so notice again here that everyone needs a pastor. They need to have a pastor. I could name people right now that are floundering in life and need a pastor. Some of you know, again, over the other side of the lake, there's Betty, and Betty needs a pastor. And again, we watch people, again, flounder around in life and leave for whatever reason, But boy, again, understand that in God's economy, a Christian needs to be under a pastor. God said so. And again, a lot of people say, well, I'll never go to church again. A lot of people I know that got hurt in church and said, that's it, I'm all done with church, I'll not go back. Boy, God's economy is that he has a church. And that church has an organization. That church Well, let's move on to the next point. That church takes up offerings. We ought to have a love for giving. I praise the Lord. I don't teach too much on tithing here again. I like to mention it once in a while, and I want to make sure that we all know that a tithe doesn't just mean 10%. A tithe means the first 10% in the Word of God. I got a letter, hate mail on one of my penny pulpits this year. And he went on and on about that I ought to get out of the ministry because I teach tithing. And I thanked him very much for his opinion and then sent him down the road. That's his opinion again. And how big was his church? Well, he wasn't the pastor. He's just some guy, again, that's got a big mouth who thinks the Bible doesn't teach tithing. Listen, the Bible teaches tithing. Bible teaches again that the first 10%, even more so, it teaches again that everything that we have belongs to God. And again, we ought to tithe of that. We ought to give the first 10%, and that ought to be only the first 10% in giving. And again, there ought to be a lot more behind that. I praise God. Other thing he was on a rant about is the fact that we have a Faith Promise mission program. He doesn't believe in Faith Promise. And I don't care if he doesn't believe in Faith Promise. Believe in something, for crying out loud. And again, giving over and beyond our tithe, that's what Faith Promise is. And it's a promise of giving. And so when we look at these things, praise the Lord for Good Samaritan Baptist Church, the teaching we've had here and stood on for all these years, and the tithing. Again, Harold Boyd said, God does not take up offerings to raise money. God takes up offerings to raise Christians. Let me say that again. God does not take up offerings to raise money. He takes up offerings to raise Christians. And we need to have a giving heart. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 is where we draw out the idea of faith promise giving so that we can get the word of God around the world and we can take care of the needs of the brethren as is given there in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. John 3:16 is the idea of giving. God so loved that he gave. We're coming up on Christmas here next month. And it's a big deal about giving. But it's gotten so twisted out of proportion that now it's gotten a big deal about Macy's and buying. And so you don't get deceived and don't get all fussy about, oh, I got to get a gift for somebody. Keep a spirit of giving. That's a part of our first love. Just an idea that, and again, some of the people that go off on Christmas and go off on a rant that it's a pagan holiday, and you check out their lives, you probably find that they're not too keen on giving either. And so again, the world has twisted it, but again, understand our heart ought to be heart of givers, that we will give. Christ gave for us, and we want to have hearts to give. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. There's been times, even here at Good Samaritan Baptist Church, where we have people who call. And not so much lately, but more so at the beginning when I first started in the ministry here, I'd get all kinds of calls. People want me to pay for their electric bill. People want me to pay their rent. People want me to pay this, pay that. Because, again, a lot of people pictured the church as a giving organization. And that's what you're supposed to do. That's what you're commanded to do. And, a lot of people, I felt funny the first couple times. I said, no, go down the road. Go check at the Catholic Church. Maybe they'll help you out, you know. But understand that we ought. And boy, sometimes I felt pretty calloused about that. But discerning again, who are users and who aren't. We have paid a lot of rent. We have paid a lot of electric bills here at Good Samaritan Baptist Church. With our benevolence, again, trying to be helpful, trying again to be an encouragement. But some people are users, and you need to discern and be careful of that. But again, all of us, we can become too calloused at that. My wife was reminded again this week. My wife reminds me that I am a cheap tipper. I like 10%. You know, it's quick and easy to figure out. We better move on. So anyway, being givers and able to give and willing to give. Certainly as a church, we want this. Appreciate again our Faith Promise mission and our outreach around the world. 15 missionaries, praise the Lord. I prayed for them all this morning. And again, just overjoyed that we could be part in 15 missionaries' lives and plus two other ministries with the Marshalls and Victory Baptist Press. Just getting the word out. What a tremendous joy. What a tremendous privilege. What a response to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9 that we could again do that. And I appreciate so much Good Samaritan Baptist Church and you folks giving faithfully that we could again just go ahead and support them. Missionaries going out. And it might not always be that way. Again, as we say, things are changing here. We might not be able to keep on 15 missionaries. But boy, we sure want to keep on a spirit of giving because that's part of our first love. That other people need to hear the gospel. Other people need our love. And again, you can give without loving. Harold Boyd said this too, by the way. You can give without loving. But you can't love without giving. And so again, when we love others, when we love those people that are on the street, when we love those people, again, understand we ought to have a giving spirit. Some of the verses here out of Psalms, He is ever merciful and lendeth, and His seed is blessed. Psalms 125, a good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Down at the play we went to, I forgot who it was. The guy was at the street begging, was on the corner begging there, and he heard the high priest coming or something and was figuring, oh, that's the high priest. The blind man, that's what it was, begging. And he wasn't expecting anything from him. And so again, when you see someone on the street begging, what's your response? We don't see it so much around here. You got to go to California again, then you see it all the time. You go to an airport, you see it all the time. You go to, but again, we need to have a heart that responds with love to people, especially people that are in need. And we have resources that's beyond description when you think about it. I look at verse Psalm or Proverbs 19. It says, "He that hath pity on the poor lendeth unto the Lord." Would you be nervous loaning money to the Lord? I hope not. He that hath pity on the poor, you're lending to the Lord. And look what it says there. And that which He hath given, will He repay him again. God will take care of you when you take care of others. Let's be generous with our giving. And let's give. And remember, that's part of our first love. That we had a heart that was giving and willing to give and generous in our generosity. These things keep as part of our first love. The bumper sticker said this: tithe if you love Jesus. Any idiot can honk. So again, as we consider the first loves that we ought to have in our life, we ought to, again, love the Word. We ought to love thy brother. We ought to love the church that Christ died for. And we ought to love giving. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. This was, remember, written to churches. It's applicable to individuals, but it was written to churches. And that candlestick is, again, the church. Boy, again, if we don't keep the first things, God will remove this church. Remove. That's what he's talking about there, removing the candlestick. The church is the witness, like the candle on the candlestick. And again, John saw Jesus with the stars in his hand walking amongst the candlestick. The stars were the messengers or pastors to the churches, and the candlesticks were the churches. And I appreciate Good Samaritan Baptist Church and the first love that is shown around here. Others that come through here say, wow, boy, the spirit in that church is tremendous. Brother Fielder, when he was here, said, man, your folks have an ability to absorb the Word of God and just a freedom to preach. So much so, I don't care if there's only three of them, I'm coming back in 2021 again. Praise the Lord. And so I do appreciate, again, Good Samaritan Baptist Church. And I'll just give you this as a reminder here on this Veterans Day celebration where we're looking at those who purchased our freedom. Let's remember again the freedom that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And let's remember our first love, the love of Christ, the love of His Word, the love of the brethren, the love of His church, and the love of being givers, even as Christ was. Father, praise you again and thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you again that we could look at it today. Pray your blessing again on the things that we've looked at here and cause again, Father, that we could hear from heaven. We thank you and we love you. We love your word. We love the brethren the best we can and ask that you'd help us with that too. We love again your church that you died for. Thank you that we could be here gathered together as a church. And Father, we love again the ability to give and accomplish the great commission that you've given us. And Father, I'll praise you now and thank you for your blessing on Good Samaritan Baptist Church, the worship we've done here in this place on this day. And Father, that you'd touch us stepping into a new street, a new week. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's stand and we'll go ahead and be dismissed.